So if we're going to walk with Jesus, what does it really mean in life? I mean, what do we actually do? One day, a man asked Jesus, what was the greatest commandment? And Jesus answered, the most important one is this. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. And the second is this. Love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these, Jesus said. Now, he used that phrase more than once in his ministry. It is kind of the heartbeat of the Old Testament law. And one time, he used it to answer a religious leader who wanted to know what he had to do to inherit eternal life. And Jesus gave this same answer. And that religious leader turned and asked Jesus, all right, but who is my neighbor? And Jesus gave one of his famous parables, the parable of the Good Samaritan. When people, Jesus or anyone, give us a big picture like this, it is a common human aspect to say, okay, but what do I do? When Peter preached the very first Christian sermon in Acts chapter 2, the crowd who was before him finally stopped him and said, literally, what shall we do? We need help knowing how to take big concepts like this and make them practical and alive in our lives. So Lord, we're to love you and love neighbor. What do I do? I don't know how many times in pastoral ministry people will want to know, so what am I supposed to do with my faith? I can't give you absolutes. Your walk is going to be different than my walk, and it always is a walk of faith. But I can give some facets, some broad strokes of what it means to have a healthy spiritual lifestyle. There's a handful of things you can do in your life to kind of maintain a healthy physical life. And there are things you can do in your spiritual life to maintain a healthy spiritual life. And that's what we've been looking at. So 2 weeks ago, we looked at two internal aspects of a healthy spiritual life. And I talked about connection with God. Next slide. And I talked about study of God's Word. And with each one of those, I summed it up with a single question. Next slide. Do you have a personal time with the Lord daily and regularly? Do you talk to God in your own life regularly? The corporate expression of that is what we're doing right now. It is gathering with the body. Do you make that a priority in life, to be together with God's body? And then with the study of the Word, it's, are you growing in knowing God's Word? Only you can answer that. I can only answer it for myself. And these are kind of internal facets. I think of them as kind of the food and water of life. They feed me. They keep my body functioning. But if I just sit on a couch all day, I eat really healthy food, I drink my pure water, and I never get off that couch, my body's still going to atrophy. And over a few years, going to look like a little lump. They're the internal things. But in addition to those, there has to be an external aspect of our faith. And those are the two things I want to talk about today. And the first external facet of faith is what I've termed service for God. And here's the question. Are you putting your gifts, talents, and treasures to work for God's kingdom? Now, there's an aspect of that involved with the church and using our gifts and callings and talents and treasures to aid the church of God in its mission. The church is God's plan of salvation for the world. There are other ways God works, but the church is God's plan. And we see that in the book of Acts unfolding. As the church began to grow, there began to be more and more activities for people to use their gifts, talents, and treasures to keep the church functional. So in Acts chapter 6, we see that there's a problem between two groups in the church. There's Greek-speaking and Hebrew-speaking people. And guess what? There began to be a little bit of a issue because of the cultural differences of those two groups. So the apostles had the wisdom. They called together the church and we said, we realize there's a problem. The people aren't getting food as they need it. And so they appointed 7 people to take care of the distribution of food to people in need, to make sure that the Greek-speaking and the Hebrew-speaking people in need all got what they needed. And now there was a new ministry that happened in the church. And as we watch the church grow, we begin to see more ministries birth. And later, Paul talks about giving all kinds of gifts to people in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and in Romans chapter 12. Paul talks about the various kind of spiritual gifts God gives for the common good, for helping the body of Christ function well. Are you using your gifts, talents, and treasures to help the body, us, PCOG, right here, function well? I don't know what that means for you. I know what that means for me in some parts and what it doesn't mean for me. And I've shared the story a number of times. Do not put me in a classroom with little children, because soon they will not be there. I am not wired to do a Sunday school class with youngsters. That's okay. God's got other places I can serve. I don't know where it is that you can serve. But that's part of a healthy spiritual lifestyle. But it's not just about using our gifts, talents, and treasures in the relatively safe confines of the body of Christ. God also wants the church to make a difference in the world. And so God is advancing the gospel around the world through deeds and words. Are you using your time, treasure, talents to help advance God's kingdom in deed or word around the world? The hope of God is that we who are walking with Jesus will show the love and life and grace and mercy and face of God in our world. One day, the story is in Matthew chapter 25, sometimes called the Great Commandment. Jesus gave this parable. He talked about the sheep and the goats, and as he was bringing it to conclusion, he said, "The king will say to those on his right, 'Come, You who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me. And then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you? And the king will reply, I tell you the truth. Whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. If you sit and ask, how am I using my time, my treasure, and my talents to advance God's kingdom around the world? Ask yourself, when did you do something for the least of these? That, brothers and sisters, is advancing God's kingdom in the world. Now, there's also, that's the deed aspect. There's also the witness aspect of it. In Matthew 28, Jesus says, all authority in heaven and earth have been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I will be with you to the very end of the age. In Acts 1:8, Jesus said, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and be my witnesses in Jerusalem, all Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. We have this two-pronged approach. God says, love people, practically care for those in need, and tell them about me. How are you using your time, your treasures, your talents to do that? So that's part of a spiritual, healthy lifestyle. It's when we get up from the couch and do something in life. Now, sometimes God puts a burden on us to do a particular something, and we work at it with all of our heart. I think of, you know, William Wilberforce is a hero of mine. He had this idea about ending the horrors of the slave trade. And he dedicated his life and his time in Parliament to end the slave trade in Great Britain. Right now, a fellow by the name of Gary Hagen, or Haugen, depending on how you pronounce it, leads a ministry called International Justice Mission. They have created an organization around the world which is working to free people who are in a different kind of slavery. It may be sex trafficking or a lot of brick kilns in India and that part of the world. And he has dedicated his life, and he's built a ministry, a corporation, an organization to do that. Sometimes God puts a call that says, here's an injustice, go fight it. I don't know if God's put that on your heart. And sometimes we fall into things. Queenie at reentry will talk about the early days. She didn't set out to start a ministry. She opened her door to women in need. And eventually a ministry grew out of that. Maybe you've heard the story about a little monk in around the year 400. Strange name, Telemachus was his name. And he was a monk, I don't know which order, and he lived in Turkey, and he heard God say, you know, go west, go towards Rome. So he left Turkey, and he traveled the highways and the byways towards Rome. And sometime after he entered Rome, he saw a crowd of people, and he kind of followed the crowd of people, and he ended up in the Colosseum. And it was a gladiator fight. I mean, bloody, people fighting to the death for the pleasure of others in a crowd. And at some point in that event, kind of God's horror at what was happening struck this man, and he somehow got down onto the floor of the Colosseum, and he went up in between the two gladiators and pleaded with them to stop. In the name of Christ, stop. And history tells us that one of the gladiators, probably thinking it was part of the show, ran him through with a sword, and he died there on the spot. 3 days later, Emperor Honorius ended gladiatorial fights to the death forever. Sometimes we fall into a justice mission or a helping mission. We didn't seek it out. We were just trying to follow God, and something happens before us. Are you available to God? I use the phrase often, we're called to be difference makers in this world. Not just coast through and have fun and you know, stockpile our days for when we can really enjoy life in retirement, but to be difference makers. And by difference makers, I mean we make a difference for good and for God. We take on injustices. We do what we think God would have us do. There's a very interesting story in Matthew where Jesus speaks a word to the Pharisees. He says, "Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees." Next slide, yeah. "You hypocrites. You give a tenth of your spices," mint, dill, and cumin, meaning you give a tenth down to the penny. You know, you tithe to the penny. "But you have neglected the more important matters of the law: justice, mercy, and faithfulness. You should have practiced the latter, justice, mercy, and faithfulness, without neglecting the former, the tithe." It is absolutely appropriate that we as Christ followers take on the injustices of this world and try to bring God's view of humanity into our broken world. And sometimes we are going to die doing that. And sometimes we are going to be revered by history because we made a difference that generations later say, "Oh, I am so glad we humans did that." I can't tell you which is our lot, but those are the calls of a lifestyle that follows after Jesus. And I'd like to use this verse as a segue to my final point, which is really an aspect of service for God. And that is giving to God. And here's the question. So you can just go through. There it is. Are you giving an honoring portion of your monetary resources to the Lord? Financial sacrifice and giving has been part of God's people's call to follow God since the very beginning. Luke describes in his first description of the earliest church in Acts chapter 2, verse 45, he said, they, meaning people of the church, sold property and possessions to give to anyone who was in need. One of the first four things mentioned that people did to follow Jesus was they reached into their pocket and they took out resources and gave them to the apostles so that people didn't have need. So that the body was cared for. A couple chapters after that, in Acts chapter 4, we have a guy named Barnabas. He goes and he sells a piece of property and he gives that to the apostles. And Paul, who's taking up a collection for the church, writes to the Corinthians, on the first day of every week, each one of you should set aside a sum of money in keeping with your income, saving it up so that when I come, no collection will have to be made. And in that phrase, there's a couple of key thoughts. Giving's regular, but also giving is for everyone. Corinthians was largely a slave church. There were slaves, and then there were rich people. This letter goes to everyone, and Paul understands that, and so he says, you know, in keeping with your income, or in proportion, or connected to what you make. So if as a slave they made just a little bit, then give out of that. And if you were a big homeowner and you could host the church every week, give out of your resource. Please understand that the giving, especially as we walk into the New Testament, is not just income. It's from resources. Notice Barnabas and the early church, they sold possessions in order to help others. A lot of people use the phrase tithing. It means to take 10% of one's income. That's what a tithe is. It's 10%. I think it's an appropriate starting place. Jesus commended the Pharisees for tithing to the penny. But as we see giving unfold in the New Testament, it's not as if I calculate my income, I move the decimal point one place, I give that, I'm done. It's what are the needs presented and what can I do to help them? So, for me, I think a tithe is a great starting place. I don't think it's the end. I think it's the beginning of faithfully giving to God. Now, if you've not given in that way, it's like, how am I supposed to give that much? I mean, my honest comment is, you probably can. But you'll have to learn how to do that. You'll have to learn how to bring your other spending into line in order to be able to do that. I get that. The gold medal giver in the New Testament is a nameless woman in Mark chapter 12. Jesus is in the temple and he calls his disciples and he kind of says, look at this. Next slide. He says, truly I tell you, this poor widow has put more into the treasury than all the others. They gave out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in everything, all she had to live on. I'm not expecting us to go to Chase or Wells Fargo and empty our bank accounts and put it in. Because once you did that, then we'd have to take care of you because as a believer. But you get the point of what Jesus is saying. This woman held nothing back. So, what do you do to follow Jesus? Spend time talking to God in prayer. We were chatting right before the service, and I don't know if it's the church Ted normally goes to or what, but they got a big move going on right now. Give the best 20 minutes to God. It's kind of a nice deal. Give God your best 20 minutes for prayer and for study and reading. Prayer and reading. But then how are you serving? How are you using your gifts and your abilities, your treasure, to move God's kingdom, to make this world and the systems of this world look and feel more like what God would do if sin wasn't in the place? So I invite you to take one of these, and in your best 20 minutes of the coming few days, open this up and just look through it. Next slide. How you doing with your connection with God? How you doing in study of God's Word? Where can you say, I'm serving the church or the kingdom or both? Where are you giving? Gaze upon God, or giving would be a better way. We'll talk about the gaze upon God next week. And then ask yourself, where might I need to grow most in my walk with the Lord these next 6 months? And then write yourself a note. It's just for you. Stick it in your pocket or your wallet after that. What might I do to grow? See, God may be highlighting just one of those areas for you. Go with that impulse and see where God takes you. Let's pray. God, to love you with all of our heart and soul and mind and strength, to love our neighbor as ourselves, help us to know what to do to love you. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.